Welcome to another episode of the Dynamic Thriving Podcast. I am your host, Marianne Pack, spiritual medium, author, publisher, and joyologist, guiding you into all things life transformational. And in this series of the podcast, I am interviewing authors that have said yes to joining Keys to Joyful Living, our podcast and book anthology project for 2024. And I am so, so thrilled to have my dear friend, mentor, and coach, Lori Raggio, with me today. So welcome, Lori. I am so thrilled that you're joining us and you're going to participate in sharing your wisdom and your insights in our book for Keys to Joyful Living.
Thank you, Marianne. And I know, as I was just saying before we started the recording, is that if you look at our company names, it's like they're so similar and it's the whole focus on greatness. So it's kind of like, how can we go wrong?
That's exactly right. Yes, yes, yes. I love it. So we're going to jump right in and ask Lori, as always, who is Lori and what good do you bring in the world?
Well, you know, it's so funny. I think every time we talk, it's like I switch it up a little bit. And, you know, one of the things that I wanted to mention today is I have such a profound interest and connection to the land here in Arizona. And so one of my newest ways of how I describe myself is I'm an owl lover. An owl lover. And it's because there's two owls that started probably over the last 4 months or so living and perching in the tree right next to us in our neighbor's yard. Wow. And they're beautiful. And they just I talk to them and I get inspiration from them. And so that's my newest part of I'm an owl lover. But actually, I kind of refer to myself as a creation catalyst, a soul activist, a disruptor, a transformational leader and coach, and a geographical soulmate matchmaker. And I predominantly work with women leaders and entrepreneurs. And when we work together, it's like the process of kind of looking at how did they build up this armor? And I kind of like picture, you know, those medieval pictures of women with all of the metal armor all over. You know, so it's like taking a little piece of that off here and there and then helping them to understand their why and then creating this life that they absolutely love, that's something they desire, they deserve, and that aligns with really what their heart and their soul is calling them to.
Oh, I love that. That's beautiful. And I know working with you is powerful because you've been a mentor for mine for years since we met. I always cherish the wisdom that you share with me and the openness and the willingness to hear and understand me and yet guide me, point me in the direction of my potential. So, and always, of course, I always ask, talk about our mess being our message. And
yeah.
And it's so important for us to understand that usually what we go through, kind of the mess or the chaos or the trauma or whatever it is, however it's affected us, can become our message when we've worked through it. Mm-hmm. And so talk to us a little bit about your mess and what's mm-hmm. become your message and how you've worked through it and how you can, you know, encourage others to do the same. Because sure. If one of us can do it, we can all do it.
Yes. Yes. We kind of have to be those leaders, I think, to go first. There's been so many firsts, I think, in my life. And so part of, you know, dealing with my own messes has been, you know, taking some risks and taking those firsts and then being able to turn around and to support others. But I don't know if you've ever heard of Father Richard Rohr. He's he has a daily post. He's a Jesuit priest. And one of the things that he's been talking a lot about in his posts are this idea of when we've gone through some kind of pain or suffering or challenges and have been able to come out kind of the other side with more joy and just more peace, that we're in the best place to be able to help and support others because we have been there. So I think some of my messiness has come from, you know, various things in my background. As I was growing up, I had some medical issues, very young, in and out of hospitals. And that eventually led to an eating disorder that started at age 10 and kind of was at different stages even throughout my college years. And part of that led to this feeling of needing to control and needing to perform and needing to kind of like protect myself because I had to be perfect. And so I think over the years, what has happened is that I've learned that, you know, all of those stories that I was telling myself around those things, they got me to certain successes in my life. But then I got to a point where it was like they all stopped working. And it was like, you know, I no longer wanted to really kind of define and describe myself as what I did. I was really more interested in who I was and who I was becoming. So that's a lot of the message that I share now and that I support other women with, is that we are so much more than what we do.
Absolutely.
And so the whole process of kind of who we are, who we're becoming, and like, where's that gap? And then, you know, taking some intentional action. So I know I shared kind of a little bit on our other podcast of just some of the kind of where I was to where I'm going. And as I was really writing it down and looking at it, it's exactly kind of what I support other people through. So, you know, that whole focus on the proving and the performance to more of the just living in alignment and abundance, that it's not that anymore. Along with that came all the control and all of the focus on I had to do it by myself because nobody else could do it any better or nobody else could help me in the way that I needed the help. So that fierce independence to now really trying to work on that fierce interdependence. You know, living by default or feeling like I just had to deal with whatever was coming my way, to the whole focus on, no, I can really create it. You know, I can envision it and I can create it. A lot of fear, you know, to now thinking about, no, it's really not that. It's more faith. It's more hope. It's more belief. And more of kind of like being muted from more of a standpoint of confidence, I think. And well, people aren't going to necessarily understand me, to now trying to say, well, no, I'm going to boldly say whatever it is. There's going to be somebody out there who hopefully needs to hear it, you know, and I'm not going to worry about who that might be.
No,
that I'm just going to say it and the right people are going to hear it and respond to it. And then I think kind of the last one is this whole piece about, you have to play it safe, because if you don't, then you're going to be disappointed.
Oh, yeah, right.
And if you're disappointed, then are you really good enough to do all those things you want to do? And so the other side of that is, yeah, I've got to take some risks, some calculated risks, some, you know, really committing to what it is, you know, that I want. And being committed to like being on that edge. Mm-hmm. That edge could actually kind of be fun.
Yes.
You know? And so it's those things, you know, that as I look back, that's kind of been from my mess to my message. And then really kind of what I support other women with.
Yes. We're certainly on the leading edge.
Yeah.
Because we're taking thought to where it has never been before. Mm-hmm. You know, we're building on thoughts that are always in the ethers. They're always available, but we're expanding and evolving those even greater. And the thing is, it's not like a scary risk of, it also has to do with our, you know, that we are creating our life. Mm-hmm. And that even though it's unknown to us, our inner being always knows.
Right.
So it's like, for if we could just grab on to what they know, think, and feel about it.
Yeah.
Then they'll whisper to us, it's no risk. It's safe. We know what's out there. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. It feels like risk to us.
Right.
Yeah. Right. In our physical bodies, we get the heart pounding and the nerve running and the,
right.
You know, but then if we sit back, take that breath and pause and sit back a minute and get quiet, mm-hmm. then that little whisper can come in and support us and soothe us.
Yes.
Into, yes. Yeah. And then, yeah, committing to that path. And we're always moving toward something, mm-hmm. you know, and we just have to point our noses in the direction of that we want to go, instead of looking over here and listening to so-and-so's opinion about it. And like you said, you know, being bold to say, this is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Whoever's my peeps will come. Who's ever my vibe tribe will come.
Right.
Somebody is going to benefit from what I'm speaking because it's my truth. Mm-hmm. And it may just resonate with them.
Yeah.
I love that. How you pose that. I love that.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. So we're talking about the keys to joyful living. And so what are some of the keys that kind of have, that you found that unlocked those doors of opportunity, of full potential, of you know, some of the things that, you know, tools or techniques, modalities, things that you use personally, and then that transformed you, and then now you've expanded it and found more tools, more keys that help your clients unlock those doors of opportunity?
Yeah. I always love being a guest on your podcast because the questions you ask really help me to have to look and kind of narrow and get more clarity and definition around all of this. So, you know, I kind of put it into four different steps or categories. And the first one is really knowing thyself and doing that for myself first and then for my clients in a few ways. And that is really kind of our essence, like who we are. And I think, Marianne, I think you and others have, some others have experienced my essence kind of activity. And you walk away with basically five words that truly just describe the core of who you are. And so, for example, mine are harmony, power, glow, source, and heart. And then those kind of become part of the foundation of how I think and act, along with the why. So it's like, why do we do things foundationally? What's at the core? And so there's a tool that I use to support people in coming up with that. And my why happens to be what we call better way. So I'm constantly looking and helping my clients. You know, is there a better way to do that? You know, a better, more productive way or joyful way or whatever. And then looking at our values. And so some for me are integrity, honesty, transparency, authenticity, transformation, trust, and commitment. So those are some of my core values. And then the last kind of piece in this know thyself is our energy level and our magic. And so if we take all of these things, it helps us really have a good understanding of who we currently are. And then step two is looking at our passions, our desires, and our goals. And so in these two steps, then, where are the gaps? Who we are, who we're becoming. Yeah. And then the third step is looking at the stories that either get in the way of us becoming that person that we want to become or supporting us. And we might need to tell different stories around that. We might have to get rid of some stories that we've been telling ourselves for a long, long time. And then the last piece is with all of that information, taking aligned, intentional actions.
Yes.
And so the keys to living to me are know thyself, who I am, who I'm becoming, where is that gap? What are the stories I'm telling myself? And then what actions do I need to take? Mm-hmm. And so those are kind of, for me, kind of in a brief summary, what I do in my own life, and then what I support clients.
And I like how you make sure that you're knowing yourself, you're helping your clients, and you, even you working through it, mm-hmm. you know, you learned about who you were, the, you know, kind of the direction you're wanting to go, those dreams, hopes, and mm-hmm. desires and all. And then you wait for the inspired action. Mm-hmm. You're not jumping in at the action at the beginning when you're just floundering and you're beating your head against the wall. We don't take action then.
Yeah.
We're not, all we're doing is shoving one dirt pile from this side of the yard to the other and back. You know, we're not accomplishing really anything when we could get in touch and in alignment with who we mm-hmm. are, have that power that creates worlds at our beck and call, and then hear what the inspired action is, because then boom, magic happens.
Because we're, I think we're in a better place to see it and hear it and then be able to act on it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I think, you know, the whole focus on, you know, striving for more joy or looking or going on a journey to be more joyful. We've got to know who we are first.
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. I always tell people to start there. You have to know that you are, you know, your inner being, who you're embodying is love and joy and appreciation and well-being and freedom and clarity and peace and calm and all those beautiful attributes. That's who you are. It's not something you have to attain.
Right.
It's already you.
Right.
You just have to line up with it and agree with it.
Yes.
And say, yes, this is me.
Yeah.
This is who I am.
Yeah.
It's the I am. And that's so powerful that, you know, then we can make so much faster headway.
Yes. And
our transformation, working through our transformational journey, can actually pick up momentum.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know, because then we're releasing the resistance of saying, no, that's not me. Mm-hmm. Well, yes. It may not feel like you right now,
but
the more you focus on who you are, your inner being will assure you that, yes, that is who we are, blended, me and me, you and you, you know, the you physical and the you spiritual or the non-physical.
And I loved your post, I think it was today, just all on, you know, love, and that we are love, but if we're not telling ourselves the story that we are, it can be a barrier to being able to show up in the way that we really want to show up.
Oh, absolutely.
And so, you know, looking at those stories, and some of those stories are, I mean, they're stories that aren't even truly ours. They're generational, but they're ingrained.
Yes. Yeah, I call it indoctrinated, because it's just learn it from.
Yeah,
it's not that it's, I don't believe it's physically ours generationally. It's thought, it's taught. Mm-hmm. So they had that attitude. They passed it to my mother or father. Mm-hmm. They passed it to me.
Yeah.
I would tend to pass it to my children until I break that cycle. So, you know, it's. They're not ours. They're not our truth. They're lying. If they feel bad, I always tell people, you know, that emotional guidance system that we have within, our emotions tell on our thoughts every time. So if it feels good, it is truth for us. If it feels bad, guess what? We picked up somebody else's lie and it's not ours. So that's something that we need to release. And we can only deactivate or release those as we start telling the new story of who we really are.
Right.
The true story.
Right.
That I am love embodied. I am joy embodied. I am freedom embodied.
Right.
And we take it on. And you know, something that I practice, I have a little ditty that I sing to myself. And it's just that and someone else, another coach taught me to be sure and include my name when I say I am statement. Mm. You know, she said, you know, say, Mary Ann, I am love embodied. Mm-hmm. You know, so then I created this little sing-songy ditty thing where I tell myself, I am love. Mary Ann, I am a being of love. Mary Ann, I am a being of joy. Mm. You know, so, and then another coach taught me about bilateral stimulation, where you just cross your arms and touch each side as you say it in a slow pattern.
Yeah.
And it anchors that in our body.
Yes.
You know, it's stimulating the energy and our body is able to hold on to it. Mm-hmm. And so then our body becomes that and it stands in agreement with us.
Yeah.
So I love that. These are, you know.
Yeah. Well, and everybody loves to hear their name.
Absolutely.
But how many times do we actually have conversations with people throughout the day where we don't say either our own name or they don't say our name? Mm-hmm. So it's very powerful.
It is. It like when somebody actually calls me by my name, sometimes it just makes like a
I know, does it
thing in your body because you're just not used to hearing it.
Yes.
And it's like, oh, my name was called.
Yeah.
You know, and not in a bad way, like when we were kids. Mary Ann. Right.
Mine was Lori Annie.
Yeah.
And you knew as soon as you heard that, it was like, oh no.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking about, you know, love and things like that. And my partner, every time he says, I love you, he always says my name.
Oh, sweet.
And it just really, it's like, you know, there's no question that he's talking to me when he says it that way. It's just this, I don't know. It's just this interesting feeling. Yeah.
Yeah. That's beautiful. I love that. Yeah, that would be precious. That would definitely, that would make a profound impact.
Yeah.
So when you're just not feeling like you're living joyfully or like those thieves of joy have come in to steal, because my default thief is complaining. I was the queen of complaining for years and years and years until I flipped that conversation. So, you know, what do you do? Mm-hmm. What's kind of your step-by-step, give us a step-by-step.
Yeah.
Of coming back into that joyful living when you're just not feeling
it. Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting. I think the more focus I spend on my own transformational and spiritual growth, the bigger my list gets. So as I was writing down my list, I'm like, oh, I have some more options than, you know, I think what I used to, which is really cool because then you're not just dependent on one thing. But so one of the things I do is I read, and I read a lot, but I think it's more of like kind of the spiritual focused books that really helped me just kind of be able to put some things into perspective. Another thing is I love to walk. I love to be out in nature. And so that movement, any kind of actual physical movement, just kind of brings both my head and my heart and my soul and my body, like all in alignment. And I probably do my best thinking and kind of creating when there's some kind of movement. Having a deep conversation with someone, a family member or a friend, someone who really kind of gets me and will give me that space and will listen and not try to fix or come up with answers, but just kind of let me, you know, and then kind of the dialogue that happens. A lot of times I'll pull an oracle card. And, you know, really kind of contemplate and think about what is that message and, you know, what can I take from it? Focusing on what I'm grateful for.
Yes.
You know, to really then kind of get my brain thinking about the positive and not necessarily, you know, something that's more negative. Turning my attention to, you know, supporting, caring for, serving someone else. Get myself out of the focus on me. Mm-hmm. You know, that kind of helps me get back to the joyful living. Spending time with my pups. I have two. They're now 8 years old, but I have two huskies. And, you know, I realize that they love me no matter what. I mean, certainly love me much more when I have food, but, you know, but they're there, you know, and they can sense all the energy and they will, you know, come and want to, you know, have connection with me. So I notice that that's a lot of fun. And then just, you know, again, talking to the owls, mm-hmm. you know, if they're in the tree, I'll go out, I'll have a conversation with them. And it's just kind of that eye contact. Mm-hmm. That's like, okay, you know, whatever was happening is like so small.
Yes.
Compared to being a part of this bigger, you know, this bigger world, this bigger community. So those are some of the things that I do.
Yeah. And that's, like you said, having many different things in your joyful toolbox.
Yeah.
Because the thing is, there's sometimes when you're not feeling it, you can't think of one thing.
Right.
It also gives you a chance to, because all of these things feel different in different times. Mm-hmm. You know, so one thing may work, because I'll do that even when I'm not feeling it. And I'll try one thing that I know is in my joyful living toolbox, one of my keys. And I'll go, well, that's not working today.
Yeah.
That's not doing it for me.
Right. Right.
And so I have to find another one or another one. Or maybe it's a, you know, a combination.
You know? Yes. Yeah.
Like, you know, like you said, walking outside and then. Maybe on the way you're talking to the owls or whatever, you know. So there's always a multiple, you know, keys that will unlock mm-hmm. that joyful mm-hmm. living door again. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. sometimes we slam shut on ourselves by our resistance or
yeah,
a thought that gets a little wobbly or haywire. Yeah.
Well, and I'm looking forward to kind of what we are sharing in the book, because my feeling is that if you can, you know, see what works for other people, you might get some ideas. There might be something that you've never really thought of and that could actually work.
Yes.
You know, that's another tool to add, you know, to your own toolbox.
Yes. And that's why I love how we completely, we're doing this anthology book so different than your typical anthology book. Is every author gets a single chapter, you know, and they tell their story and they talk about whatever it is that the book is about. In this book, we decided to make them by topic, by mm-hmm. the keys to relationship, the keys to, you know, what to do when you're not feeling it, the keys mm-hmm. to procrastination, the key, you know, all these different, the keys to know yourself, you know, what are those keys? And so, you know, as I'm writing an introduction for all these different sections, then that leaves it wide open for every mm-hmm. author to come in and put in what she is, the keys and the important message that she shares of how she's worked through it, or, you know, a client, how she uses mm-hmm. it with her clients. So every one of these authors are going to be writing through the entire book.
Which is so much fun.
Yes, because the thing is, you will pick up on you know, this one is nice, but this one hits home.
Yeah.
You know, this lady, it's like she's talking right to me. Mm-hmm. So you're going to be able to follow these authors through the entire book, and it'll be easy. You can flip through and see if there's a topic that you're especially, you know, working on, or of course you can read it from beginning to end. That's always a given.
Right.
But at any time, it's a reference book. You can go back and find these keys when you're struggling in a certain area.
Yeah.
And get the insights from all the different authors that have already joined us and are starting to work on our manuscript. So I'm really excited about that.
Yeah.
So do you have any story that you could tell us, maybe about a client or even about yourself, of, you know, kind of how you used your keys or these takeaways that you got?
Yeah, definitely. I had to really think, because there's so many, but the one that is kind of standing out for me is a client who I probably have known for about 6 years now. And I first met her because she was the supervisor of one of my other clients. And at one point, as I was working with the other client, she said, you know, I think my manager could really use your support. You know, she goes, I keep telling her, she's seeing how I'm changing. And so I connected then with that person, and I've been coaching with her for probably about 3 years now. And it started out really more career related, where she realized that she didn't feel like she was in alignment. So we did a lot of that kind of, you know, the essence, the why, the values, the foundations, and, you know, was her current job really supporting that? And it wasn't. And so then the focus was really on helping her with her job search. And she actually moved to two different jobs before just recently, about 3 months ago, leaving her corporate job to start her own business. And so the coaching really evolved as she, again, knew more about herself and really was making decisions based on her own values and what was really important to her. And so she came to my home, and she participated in a 2-day VIP retreat that was amazing. I mean, during that time, she decided to leave her corporate role. We had a plan for that. We focused on a plan for her business for this year, for 24, by quarters, by month. She's following her plan. Now she actually is a consultant to one of the boards that I'm on. And so I'm actually able to kind of see her even a little differently in action. And she's just doing some amazing things.
Wow.
So, you know, seeing her at all those different points and phases in her life, you know, her joy has definitely increased and expanded, and, you know, it'll be so amazing just to continue to support her and see where else she goes with all of this.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's so much that sometimes people, you know, like that, you know, she really felt like that wasn't where she should be or whatever, but that's why it's so important to work with a coach like you, because you're helping them find that who they are, why they are wanting what they want. And then that transition, just helping them move, you know, for her to realize, you know, yeah, corporate's not it. It's I want to do my own thing.
Yeah.
But it took that transition, that transformation to actually realize, oh, this is where I'm supposed to be.
The light. Well, and it was interesting too, because at different points, I mean, at one point she moved jobs 2 or 3 times, probably within a 2-year period of time.
Oh.
And, you know, if you listen just to what society says, there's something wrong. if you can't stay in your role, especially at a leadership level, you know, for more than a couple of years. And so I just kept supporting her and trusting herself and trusting her gut. And again, going back to her foundation, and was it in alignment with that? Was it meeting the needs that she really had of making an impact? And it wasn't. And once she knew that, then she no longer could stay, you know, and just kept moving closer and closer to being able, you know, to be where she really needed to be, to feel whole, feel, you know, seeing her valued.
Yeah. And it's like that, like I said earlier, kind of getting your nose pointed in the right direction. Because, and two, I'm sure you help them work through that. They're not, it's not, well, I can't stand being here. And so you're trying to get away from something. No, you're just moving to something.
Yes.
So you don't have the resistance of saying, no, 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 I don't want to be with you. You're actually just saying yes, yes to me, yes to this why, yes to my, you know, what I desire and deserve, my favorite that you always say. So it's getting that nose pointed in the right direction.
Well, in each of those stages or phases or positions or whatever, it's what we learn from those, because those were not wrong. There was something else we probably needed to learn along the way that that opportunity provided us. And now we're just more ready. You know, for that next.
We're always, I mean, all those situations, they're never wrong, because they're always helping us fine tune and get clarity on what it is we really want. Because until you see what you don't want, you don't know what you want.
You
have to have contrast. You have to have a comparison. This or this, this or this. That's how humans make our decision. That's how we have to see, you know, kind of the opposites. We have to see this side of the coin so we know what this side of the coin looks like. You know, I don't want this, but I do want this. It's the same coin.
Well, it was fascinating because at Darla Ledoux's The Field the last few days, last week, one of the things she talked about was, and this was kind of the first time I think I've heard her talk in this way, but, you know, we make a match based on our current energy level and kind of where we are. Maybe it was a match for that time in our life, but maybe it's no longer the match. And so we need to then, you know, make a different decision, make a new choice to be able to like level up with where we currently are or where we're going.
Yeah. And I think that's for all of us and how we coach and what we do. Because, you know, for me, when I've talked with other coaches and even with you, I think we've talked about it before of, you know, I don't feel called to talk to somebody who's just brand spanking new in their transformational journey. I'm so far beyond, not in a egotistical way. I just am energetically further along my journey. And that's like too far of a leap for me to fill that gap, because there will be other coaches who do want to work with new people. And I'm the person who feels like they're already on their journey somewhere here. I'm almost to the point where I'm finally coming to understand that my job is to help people fine tune. Last little words of energetic presentation, like, because I'm also a recognition, besides an expression magician in Darla Ledoux's magic. I'm also a recognition. So I hear and I see those details that some people miss. And I even catch them for myself. I mean, sometimes I can't, but a lot of times I do. And I hear myself say something or use a specific word and I'll go, no, I want to use this word instead, because this carries more better energy, higher vibrational energy.
Higher vibration. Yeah.
Fine-tuning of really dialing into where that radio station is, where there's no static.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of, you know, I'm still off kilter by a degree or two.
Mm-hmm.
Fine-tuning. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's definitely fine-tuning. Helping people that are really focused on their transformational journey and they're ready to fine-tune.
Mm.
Find that, you know. So I feel like my people are different from, you know, maybe in other coaches. And it's like we talked about, you know, if you say and present, you know, boldly and with love and with joy, your peeps will find you.
Are gonna, yes. Yes. Yeah, and there's enough people out there who can benefit from coaching. There's plenty of space for all of us.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's no lack. There's no lack at all. So, Lori, how can people connect with you?
Yeah, I think that the two best ways right now is either through my email, which is lori@inspiregreatnesscoaching.com, or through my LinkedIn.
Yes, and LinkedIn is Lori Raggio. Her email is here on the screen. It will also, all of these links for Lori will be in the show notes, so it'll be easy for you to contact Lori. And I want to thank you, Lori, again for being on the show. I greatly appreciate you and all your wisdom and your insights, and it's always such a joy to be with you.
I love it, Marianne. You know, I mean, we could probably talk every day and still have
oh yes.
Something new to connect on and share.
No doubt.
Yeah.
So thank you everyone for watching and listening, and be sure and like, comment, and share if this touched your heart. And it would be so helpful if you would share or leave a review for us or leave a comment. I greatly appreciate that. It helps my work go into the world and spread more love and joy, because that is my mission in everything that I do. And Lori, do you have any? Oh, you can also visit our website, envisiongreatness.com, for everything that I do publishing wise. If you want coaching, if you're ready to fine tune, let's get you fine tuned. Let's get you in the radio dial so that there's no static and you can hear from your intuition. You can know who you are. And if you have a book being called through you, be sure and let me know. And I would love to help work with you in that respect. Lori, do you have anything else you would like to share with our audience? Any words of wisdom to leave us with?
I think just that to, you know, appreciate and seek out collaborations. I mean, I think that's what I, you know, appreciate and respect so much about you, Marianne, is you're constantly, you know, looking and searching for those ways to collaborate, to make an impact.
Yeah.
And so I would just encourage other people to do the same thing. I do think it's a way to help us to experience more joy.
Mm-hmm.
And then also to embody more of that in all the interactions that we have with people that we can come in contact with.
Absolutely. I love that. Yes. I'm a big advocate for collaboration, just because so much of what I do is a collaboration, and I love it because it's not just 1 and 1 + 2 anymore. It's 1 and 1 + 10 gazillion or something, you know,
right.
It's that mastermind that Napoleon Hill talked about. You know, when multiple people come together, it's greater.
Yes.
You know, the energy that you can produce is so much bigger than the people that are in it. And collaboration too, there's no competition. I always call collaboration is complementary. You know, it's you're complementing each other. And it's just your visibility just soars and your impact soars. And then you have the opportunity to also increase your income at the same time. And, but you know, it's that joyful living that we're all wanting to find those keys to. And I just love that this project is underway and we're so excited and you'll be hearing about it all year long.
Yes. Yeah.
So much fun. Thank you, Lori. I just love you to death. And
thank you, Marianne.
I appreciate you. Thanks, everyone, for joining us. Remember, you are joy, looking for a way to express.